Hello and welcome to Tenpence Arcade Podcast. This is podcast 197. Only three left for me after this.
Hello.
How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good, thanks, Mr. Marland. How are you?
You know it is. Life and all that. Difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, so you haven't reconsidered then leaving?
No. Definitely going at 200. It's the last one. It's going to be in June. It's going to be just after Revival event on the 8th of June. Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll probably do something from the Revival retro event, I expect, because we do enjoy that one, don't we? So that'd be good fun to do that. We'll get some other people in the act as well. That'd be good. Lots of good games to play there. Very nice. It's been a bit difficult lately. As you know, I got very poorly on the holiday when we spoke about that. My shoulder's not getting better. I've got this problem with my shoulders, and it's transferred to the left shoulder. And I went to see the physiotherapist today. They've stopped me doing a certain exercise because it's not helping, and give me some more exercise to do, and it's flipping sore. Getting old is rubbish. Don't get old, kids. It's rubbish. Stick to playing arcade games. It's much better. It's not even a joystick-related injury.
Yeah, I got to the point where the physio said, I can't do anything more from you now. It's up to you. You've quite healed. She's been doing accurate punches on me.
Accurate punches?
Yeah.
I would love to have got accurate punch in you.
Sticking needles in my shoulder, and she says it's much better.
No, just painting a little target on your chops and just dunk. Ow!
And that's really worked. So I'd say I'm up to like 80%. Look at this, really? Kids. I can do this now without hurting. Look, can you see, kids?
Yeah, look at him doing that, everyone. Well done, Sean.
Done that now, but it's still not 100%, so I've got to keep working on it, doing the exercise she said. But she's leaving because she's doing going off to different business ventures.
What, looking after horses and stuff?
She's looking after the England karate team, doing the physio for them. It's
if
amazing.
If you'd asked me anything in the world about that, I wouldn't expected England karate team as a response.
Yeah, and
that's
she's
wildest, randomest thing you've ever said, I think.
Yeah, she's
coming from you.
Yeah, and she's teaching more. So she says she's given a apart from doing the physio on the team, she's giving her hands.
She's sick and tired of you, Sean. She's not doing that at all.
She's giving her fingers a rest. So
her claws.
And she's also got a poorly mum, so she's sort of travelling between Bury and Swindon.
That's quite a way.
Not Sweden, Swindon.
Do you know what else has been happening?
Go on.
I'm doing DIY stuff, decorating in wife's office room. It's coming on. It's taken forever. It really has taken forever. So difficult to get decent people up in Scotland to do things for you. So all her tables and computers and office stuff is in my arcade room, and it's absolutely stuff everywhere. I can't get to most of the machines, and it, quite frankly, is getting me down a bit now. I did have a quick game before we got on the podcast. I missed your call because I was playing Bosconian. But that's a good excuse to miss a call, right? Because you're playing Bosconian.
It is.
And
yes.
I played a bit of Asteroids earlier as well, which was quite nice. And I did have a quick couple of games of Scramble the other day on the little Scramble multi-game I got there. That was quite fun. So, yeah, that's been going on. It's getting me down up in my room in disarray like this. It really annoys me because I can't move in it. I can't do anything. I want to get that other ISIS cab, which I'm going to set up for Berserk. I've actually physically made bits for it. I've made a new control panel. I've fitted that out. I've made a new surround for the screen, wooden screen. I've done a new back door. There's an actual 17-inch CRT VGA monitor in there because that works with the FPGA. I think I made an adapter for it. And it works. It's a really nice screen in there, slightly bigger than the other screens and the other ISIS cabs. But it looks nice. I just need to get some artwork done for it, and it'll be complete. That's it. It only just needs artwork. But I need to sort of work out what size, because the artwork has to be resized for a little cab. So I need to do that. I've also been updating my Mr. Arcade setup. I've got two Mr. setups. If you don't know what Mr. is, go and look it up. FPGA. It's really good. It's better than emulation. It's almost simulation, I suppose. But it's really good. I've got a Mr. multi-system, which has got all my console stuff on it, and I play that quite a bit on top of the big PVM screen here. And I've actually got a sort of more bare-bones setup for the arcade, which is in a cab. And it's set to, well, you can play horizontal or vertical games in it. But when you play them on Mr. on a CRT, you can't rotate them. So you can't play a vertical game on a horizontal screen and vice versa. You can't do it because it's set strictly for that screen. But if you use it with HDMI, you can do it. It can flip them around because obviously it's scaled and stuff like that. So I've been updating the Mist. I haven't updated that Mist for a long time because it was in a cab and I had to get it out to do it. So I've updated that and there's so much stuff to do on there and there's so much junk on there. Have you used Mister before?
No, I haven't. The only time I've seen one was Lewis put one in a cab.
Yeah.
And put Uridium on it, you know, the Commodore 64 game.
Yeah.
I think it was a Goliath.
Mm. And it was pretty good in that. Actually, quite well with that.
Uridium 1 megahertz version, so it was running a bit faster on the Commodore 64. Mm. But that is an arcade game. That was so cool to play.
Yeah, there's so much stuff on it now, and there's a lot of junk on it. For some reason, because what they do is they don't just write emulators for it. They're called cores. So what it does is it emulates the hardware on a certain board. So if a board had a Z80 and an AY chip and a certain amount of RAM and, you know, blah, 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 it emulates all those chips and then the software works with it, the ROMs work with it. So you get a more authentic reproduction of the game. So they've been doing cores, but they've been doing some really obscure ones. I've never even seen on MAME before. There's some Russian games on there, like, you know, pre-USSR games, you know, when they were banned in behind the Iron Curtain and stuff. And they're just junk. And they're all in Russian as well. So you don't know how to play the game. And they're just rubbish. They're not very good at all. And they've done some, like, really old games. And you're just like, why are they doing this? Why don't they do the games that everyone wants? You know, the classic era sort of thing. They have done a lot of classic era, by the way. Loads of really good stuff on there. But there's some junk on there. So I've been getting rid of some stuff on there. I've been getting rid of the Vector games because they don't play on a CRT properly because it needs the HDMI to use Vectors. And I've been getting rid of stuff with unique controls like Arkanoid, Sean, and steering wheel games and gun games and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, ones with twin sticks and that, which I can't play on the cab I've got it on. So we get rid of a lot of junk on there. But there's loads of errors in it now. You know, it needs different ROM sets and just the same as MAME kind of thing, really. So I'm just going through that. And it's very tedious doing that. There's lots of stuff on there. And what I might try and do as well is have a dual setup. So if I put one SD card in it, it'll have all the vertical games in it and the menu will be rotated vertically and then all the horizontal games and horizontal menu and all that sort of stuff, hopefully. But yeah, I need to do that. But I did notice, I was moaning about this for ages when it came out for a long, long time. When you play Kung Fu Master on the Mister, the arcade version, when you get to the end of the level and he goes up the stairs, he was going in front of the stairs rather than behind the stairs, up into it, so he disappears up the stairs.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
It's fixed now. I played it the other day and it's fixed. I need to check to see if they've sorted the sound out on Scramble because there was no missile sounds on Scramble. When you shoot, it wasn't making a noise. So I presume they've probably fixed that already by now. Obviously, I think sound is usually the last thing they do. Get the game going and sort the sound out later on, see what MAME was like. So I've been messing around with that a bit, which is always good because I want to sort of get that going in a cab. I just need to get this room sorted out again, as always. Goodness sake. What have you been up to?
Well, I've got some more pictures. If you check the website, I've got some more pictures from the Tenpence archive, some podcast advert pictures. Mm-hmm. Got a flicky one.
Podcast 54.
Podcast 54. It's me and you. You're the cat and I'm the bird.
Of course.
We've got... Ladybug. I like this one. I've got Love Ladybug and I've got a sign saying nope, and then you're dressed up in like
a ladybird dancing girl's costume, maybe something like that.
And you've got his fabulous darling.
I've got a little cab of it. I've got a little wall mount of it.
Podcast 60 is
Bangle. Oh, I'll tell you what, just think about that. Got some games for my Game Gear recently, and I had to fix the Game Gear because the power board in it hasn't stopped working. Instead of refurbishing the power board, you've got to solder some tiny little SMD chips and some tiny little SMD transistors on. I bought a whole new power board for it. It's one that uses USB-C rather than the barrel jacks. It's a bit more modern. You can use it on different stuff. And I played Bank Panic on there because I bought a 15-in-1 like bootleg cartridge for it and Bangle on it, and it works with, you've got left and right to move the doors around, and you've got down as the left hand gun and A and B as the middle and the right-hand side. It's quite good little version, actually. I wonder if that was going to work with three buttons, because if you've got two buttons on a game, then I realised quite quickly it's down to play the fire. It's good.
You got a new screen in it? Or?
Yes. I fitted one of those is it IPS screens.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
That's really nice. It looks really good, because the old screens were terrible. And they just they chew through batteries like nobody's business. So, yeah, that's good. Oh, God. You know what we did during that? We did a little sketch, and it was quite funny. We played that a little while back. But there's also the Tenpence Junior Choir.
The Tenpence Orchestra Junior Choir perform. This, you're going to love this one, kids. It's from 2016, whenever we did the Bank Panic. I shot the sheriff, and there's a bit of talking with us beforehand about you going, oh, no, make it stop.
And here it is. Sorry. Okay, right. We're going to have a musical interlude now, and oh God, it's one of yours, isn't it?
Do you know what it
is? I trusted you. You had one job, and what have you gone and done?
Well, in keeping with the cowboy theme of this podcast,
Bank-o,
I can never say Bank Panic again. We just have to add the ooze on, even though it's not proper. But there you go.
No, we'll explain that later.
The Tenpence Orchestra Junior Choir. Junior Choir. Before,
just you.
No, don't be silly.
It wasn't anything to do with me.
You crazy fool. Yeah, I know you own anything to do with it, but nor did I. It's a Tenpence Orchestra Junior Choir. And
of
you
course,
see why.
Of course.
They perform the, well, it's actually Bob Marley originally writ it, but this one is Eric Clapton's 1974 smash hit, I Shot the Sheriff.
I shot the sheriff.
Yeah, the Tenpence Orchestra Junior, is that because we were younger then?
It's just because it's very high-pitched.
Oh, I see.
I did a very high-pitched
one. It's been a long time, and I think I've blocked it out. But I'm going to have to edit this. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
You're going to have to listen to it at some point.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
What have we been playing?
I've been playing some virtual pins, but not many.
Oh, for God's sake, keep off.
I'm keeping my habits under control until I get to play real pins. And also...
They're dull as dishwater.
No,
no
stop
one knows
it.
How to play pinball. Nobody knows how to play pinball. No one.
It's a fine art.
I was talking to Alan the other day at Forgotten Worlds in Stewarton. Really good little game show. I took Friday off and went up there. And he was saying he's a big Star Wars nut, and he's got a Star Wars, not the most modern one. I'm not sure which one it is. He's got a Star Wars pinball coming.
Hmm.
And he really likes it, but he said he just doesn't have a place with bats of Borland. That's what everyone does, Sean. They pretend they know the rules, which is bad of Borland. It's bad.
No, it's some of them very, very deep rules.
The best
very
thing deep. To do, get a multi-ball, have some fun. That's it.
Yeah, you have fun anyway. You can just do that.
It's just batting balls around. You might as well just play marbles. Same thing. Electronic marbles, that's all it is.
Who's speaking to?
Where's the screen? Where's the joystick? Rubbish.
Mr. Boned at the last pin fest, and he's got a couple of pins. He says, anything that's flashing, I just make the ball hit the things that are flashing. Well, that's fair enough. You get all the bonuses and stuff
like
that.
That sounds to me like batting the ball round.
Flippers.
Electronic marbles.
I love it. Anyway, I've also, because Jeff Mint is on the scene again, and he's done that really good, was part of that really good, it's kind of a...
Was it?
A story of his life kind of thing.
Lots of llamas.
And it's called The Llama Soft Story, but it's an interactive video or whatever, but you can play the actual games as you listen to all the videos.
That's a good idea.
And I remembered that I used to love, right, Metagalactic Llamas Battle at the Edge of Time on the Commodore 64. Very clever. Do you remember how to play it? It's like...
Very clever rip-off of an arcade game? Is that what you're going to say?
No, it's a left and right. Your llama at the bottom.
I had you've it got, on the VIC-20.
Yeah, you've got about a 30-degree shot up into the sky?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've got to bounce stuff around. Is this an original game of his?
Yeah.
I think this is one of the few that are. I had an argument, not an argument, but I reacted on Twitter with someone about LlamaSoft. And I said, why don't you just go and play the arcade originals rather than the rip-offs? And they were about Jeff Minter. And I said, basically, he's just got arcade games, ripped them off, and made them psychedelic. But they are good games. He has good versions of them, but they are essentially arcade rip-offs.
This one's not. I
think because Hover Bother wasn't either, was it? That was where you mowing lawns, painting the lawns a different colour. So yeah, he did do some original games.
He put a spin on stuff, didn't he? His own little spin.
Yeah, basically dromedaries, camels and llamas and stuff, and goats and that. Because on the VIC-20, he was quite prolific on the VIC-20, obviously Commodore 64 and Atari, actually. But the games on there, I remember, Matrix and Grid Runner, they were basically Centipede, but they had some extra bits on them, which was quite good. They had things shooting from the side, and you could shoot at different angles and stuff. So that was quite clever. But then he did, was it Tracks, which was basically an Amadar ripoff on the VIC-20. He did Andy's Attack, which is exactly a Defender ripoff on the VIC-20. I think Attack and Revenge of the Mutant Camels is basically Defender as well, isn't it?
No, that's...
Yeah, it is. You go left to right in the thing and you're shooting camels.
There's a Parker Brothers game called Empire Strikes Back where you shoot...
Oh, similar to that, isn't it?
You shoot the AT-ATs.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And this is shooting huge llamas.
It's basically left to right like Defender.
No, it's just...
But then again, Drop Zone is a Defender ripoff, and that's a fantastic game.
Mm.
Yeah, they are ripoffs, but you know, who doesn't like a ripoff now and again? Who doesn't like a bootleg?
Yeah,
love me a bootleg. The cheesier, yeah, the better.
I like his stuff. Anyway, he was supposed to appear at Arcade Club.
What, just out of the back of a cab? Just appear? Hello?
He was supposed to be doing a talk about this new thing that he's got going and his life story and that, but he couldn't make it. So I think he was going to do a Zoom presentation or something and people could watch it. I didn't go, but I was going to go if he was actually physically there, but he wasn't there.
Yeah. Because I remember a little while ago when we first or second generation iPads, quite a while back when we had an iPad, I got a game of his and it was basically Grid Runner. I mean, it might be called something else, a new version of it. And it's really good. But the only thing is, it's obviously a plant your finger on the screen, move it around, auto fire game. And I think I actually reached out to him on Twitter and said, can you please put this in an arcade cab with a trackball? It'd be absolutely fantastic. It'd be like a new version of Centipede, but with lots of bells and whistles. And it's a really good game. Awesome sound effects, all that sort of stuff. But it never appeared. But I think I've got a bit later on in the notes, actually, about older games on modern hardware. We'll talk about it later on. But yeah, I'd love to see that particular game without the touchscreen, with a trackball on an arcade cab. It would have been brilliant. I can't remember which version of Grid Runner or whatever it was. It was one of his old games, but he obviously ramped up for the new iPads and stuff. It's really good. Good game.
Oh, we're playing our featured game as well.
Before I forget as well, on the Mister, I installed Insector X, which is now one of my favourite games. I love that game. And it just feels different on the Mister. It's the same ROM set, etc., but it just feels different. It sounds different as well. Not the actual tunes, they're the same tunes, but just technically it sounds different. I don't know if it's emulating the AY chips or whatever the sound chips were in it better. And the game just feels different. I need to play it more to see if it's very different to the main version. You know, something just feel different on a real cab. It's like that. I can't really put my finger on exactly what it is, but yeah.
Are you playing it on a real cab?
I was playing the emulator on MAME on one of my ponies, but the Mister will go in one of those ponies when I've finished doing the ROMs. But I was just playing it on the PVM at the moment. But yeah, it will be in a proper cab. Yeah, on a CRT, obviously.
Ew.
Did you know Pete Han's been on? He's still doing the world records and stuff. He did a no-death completion of The Punisher, the Capcom game The Punisher, at Galloping Ghost, and cracked over 8 million points without losing a life.
We did that,
madness.
Didn't we?
We did not get 8 million points, and we lost many lives when we played The Punisher.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, this is another one. New bit of homebrew making going on, which I totally love. Repro Cat Paws for Upoko. Remember we did the cave game Upoko years ago?
Mm.
And when we went to see Mr. K-Man Sweden, in Sweden, not Swindon, he had the little cat paws. These are little cat paws that you fit over a joystick ball on an arcade machine. And the original was rare and they cost an absolute fortune. Someone has reproduced them. They've molded them. They're not 3D printed. They're molded and they look the business. And I'll put a picture on the notes, on the show notes. And someone called Ever10-2 has made a panel to go on his arcade cab. And it's a little pink cat. And it looks like the joystick is actually his hand reaching out with a cat paw on it. It looks so cute. It's unbelievable. It's so good. I totally approve of this. I love it. And that game's pretty good. So you pull the cat paw down to let you bounce the balls into the play area. Really good little game. That's a bit like pinball, isn't it?
Not really.
Yeah, it is. You pull the little thing and it bounces balls around. And you just don't know what's going on. Just like pinball. Electronic marbles. Anyway, what else has been going down?
Arcade news.
We've got some news here about Archie MacLean's Atari experiments have been preserved.
Okay, what's that?
I don't know. Forgot. He's done development discs which once belonged to the legendary British developer.
Mm-hmm.
Archie MacLean have been preserved by games that weren't.
Okay.
So there's 5.25 inch discs, 5.2 work discs.
They're like 5 1/4 inch discs, aren't they, Sean?
That's it.
That's the ones.
I can't remember the words. How about that, kids? Yeah, Atari 400, 800 little things. Very early graphical tests for Donkey Kong and Tempest. Pole Position.
He had a hand in some of the development for those games.
No, I think they're just in pottering around on disc and then little experiments, but they're now for people to see.
Because we were speaking about Drop Zone earlier, which was one of his fantastic games. He was most famous for Drop Zone, International Karate, and was it Jimmy Whirlwind White's Snooker?
Yeah,
which was good. I think he did a game called Mercury on the Wii, was it? Which is like move a ball around a sort of area kind of game. It's quite good. I had it. I remember having it. So it is some good games.
Ooh. I remember I like Super Drop Zone on the NES and they had like boss battles. And whenever you got to a next level, like IO, this woman would go, prepare to defend IO. Prepare to defend Ganymede.
Yeah, that's the SNES version. It's absolutely brilliant. I really like that.
Did I say SNES?
I said NES. But oh, sorry, I think SNES. When he unfortunately died, I think one was the author of the Bitmap books. I can't remember the guy's name. Chris, I think.
Wilkins.
Chris Wilkins, I think, went to help out with the cabinets he used to have, selling them and preserving them and all that sort of stuff. And they had a cab there which was made up for Drop Zone. It was a sort of cab of his own one. I don't think it was ever... I'm not sure if it was ever going to come out in the arcade, but it was his own cabinet which had his game in it. I'm not sure if it's a different version of it or it's the SNES version or what. I don't know. But that'd be well worth playing. That'd be a great game to have in a cab, wouldn't it?
Hmm.
Really cool game, that. Really liked it.
This is another one. What Atari are just floundering around. Hopefully they're finding
their feet. Oh, this is the rant I was going to have. Yeah, go on.
Especially with the Atari 400. Is it 400 they've released? That looks all right. Atari's returning to arcades. With the new Alan Dash One partnership. We all know Alan Dash One, don't we? They're very famous.
Right.
No.
The Atari 400 you speak of is one of these mini business things. I recently watched a YouTuber received an Atari 400. It's one of those mini things. It's smaller than the original.
Hmm.
And the Atari 800 is the one to have. That's one of the really nice keyboard, and they're really expensive nowadays. You probably won't get an Atari 800 for less than 350 quid. And I think the 400s are close to that as well. The 400s are the membrane keyboards. Really nasty keyboards.
I do remember.
Not great, but the 800s are better. And the 400s, I think, only had 16K as standard. Well, you need 48 to play any decent games on it, really. There's not many 16K games out there. But the 400 is the reproduced mini. The keyboard doesn't work at all. It's just for show. And you put USB sticks in it to load games on it. But it's just one of these mini things. So it's like a mini computer inside. It's exactly the same as the Commodore 64 one they made and another mini computer. I can't remember which one it was, but it's the same thing inside, just with a different OS. That's all it is. Plays different games. And if you get them hacked, you can play anything on them. Just like the mini NES and the SNES and the Mega Drive and the PC Engine and everything. It's all the same thing inside. It's emulation. But this thing, it looks just like an Atari 400, but smaller. That's all it is. So they've released that. And they've done these recharged, in inverted bracket, games. So Atari now own the rights for Berserk. We spoke about this a little while ago. And they released a new Berserk recharged version. And it's terrible. It's a twin stick game now. It's for console. So you play it with obviously a console with twin sticks on it. And it's a lot faster. It doesn't play the same. It's got loads of level ups and different graphics and stuff. It's not very good. It's just not a very good game. It looks nothing. It plays nothing like Berserk. If you looked at it, you just think it's kind of Robotron kind of game, but fancy. Not Berserk.
These recharged things are what's going to be in the cabs, in these arcade cabs.
Yeah, they're going to put them in the cabs. So Alan One is like a modern arcade producer, would you say?
I think so. They've done a game somewhat called Avian Knights or something.
It's like a multiplayer. I've seen the cabinet on Arcade Hero's website. And it's one of these horrible 50-inch widescreen things, four-player, really thin, flat screen. You wouldn't be out of place in a Dave and Buster's or a modern arcade, modern family arcade. Great. Brilliant for them. Not for us at all. And they're going to go into partnership, I think, with Atari, or who I think it's Infogrames now, isn't it, who own Atari, a French company. Yeah. So they're going to be flat modern screen things. And I've also read, and it made me go, ugh, when I read it, they have the option to dispense tickets as well. So it's a redemption thing. Again, what a surprise. Atari will flog any dead horse at the moment to make money. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a business. That's what they're supposed to do. I don't want to... Me particularly, and people of our age, do not want to see or play any of the recharge games in any arcade. They're bad enough on consoles. If Atari really wanted to appeal to classic arcade fans from the 70s onwards like they did, and they don't, they would ask skilled programmers to make new versions or true sequels to their games on similar hardware to the originals to keep the fire burning. So if they just opened up their IP and said, right, whoever wants to make a sequel to Asteroids Deluxe, Asteroids Pro, or whatever they want to call it, on the original hardware, you're allowed to do it. Send it to us. If we like it, we'll pay you. We'll put it in the arcade or put it on a, you know, emulation or whatever.
Hmm.
So there are many people out there who can program in Z80 and 6502 assembler and all, you know, 7809 and all that sort of stuff, the original guts of an arcade machine. And even if it's on FPGA or whatever, so it's authentic but using modern gear, Atari have got the power to just say, right, everyone have a go of it. Send it to us. If we like it, we'll commercialize it, give you some money, give you notoriety, whatever. And they could do that, but they're not. They're doing these modern games that could probably play on a phone, for goodness sake. There's probably minimum, you know, skill and fun involved in it with tickets and stuff. It's just, I don't know why they're bothering with it. You know, they seem to, I know a lot of companies like Namco and Konami, they will put out their IP to the highest bidder. If you say, I want to make a version of this, or I want to do a little arcade cabinet of it, and you pay them enough money, they'll let you do it. They'll give you a license, they'll get a cut of the money, et cetera, et cetera. If you do it well, absolutely brilliant. If you're going to do a poor job of it, I mean, it's not really worth bothering about, is it? Because there's so many games, like Berserk. If you use the original hardware, it's almost the same as like what they do with Pico 8. You're limited. So if you're limited to a Z80 processor, an AY sound chip, a certain amount of RAM, a certain video processing unit, whatever you want to call it, whatever chip you use for doing that, and a certain amount of EEPROMs to put your program code on, you could do an authentic version of Berserk. Use similar graphics, use the original graphics, add some graphics to it, like what they did with Frenzy, and make a new game. That'd be absolutely fantastic. And I know you can't really make boards of it. It wouldn't be cost-effective to make PCBs to sell to people, because it'd be hundreds of pounds. Release it on FPGA, so people can play it on the FPGA hardware. There's loads of it around. I mean, that's quite cheap to produce as well. So yeah, they could do it if they wanted to, but there isn't real money, because it's a really niche thing nowadays, arcade stuff, as we know. But I mean, modern arcades could have the cabinets. They probably have got cabinets. I mean, in America and the UK, like Arcade Club and all the places we go to, they have got games and they are making money out of them. So if they wanted to make a cabinet for like £2,000 to £5,000, an arcade would buy it. And I'm sure individuals would buy it for their home as well. I mean, they could make money out of it, but I'm not sure. I'm not a businessman. It's only my idea. I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see true, authentic arcade sequels come out that, you know, nowadays be absolutely brilliant. But with the old stuff, all the old stuff, not the new, you know, it's not our thing, is it, the new stuff?
Yeah, they've got to appeal to a new crowd, though, haven't they, really, to keep going?
No. No crowds. Old crowds.
Was it you that liked the Black Widow Recharge? You thought that was really good?
It was okay. But I mean, it's okay for a console. Because that's a twin stick as well. Yeah. I mean, in a cabinet with an LCD, I don't think it'd be as nice. You know, if it had the true joysticks and a CRT, it might be pretty good. But I mean, it's too fancy for that. You want to keep it to like 8 colours. You know, and on the, if it was a vector, even it'd be even better. But I mean, you can't do that with vectors, and it's not enough of it around. But yeah, this new thing, I'm not looking forward to it at all. The only new thing I'm looking forward to in the arcade, and I probably won't play it until next year because I'm hopefully going to Japan next year, is the Donut Dodo in an arcade cabinet, because that will fit in there lovely.
Really, we sort of played one, didn't we, in America? It was in...
That was just an emulated version of it on a sort of modern-ish cab. But the actual arcade one is coming out on Exa Arcadia hardware. And it's a two-player game. You can actually play two players together at the same time. It'd be a lot of fun, that. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I mean, the hardware will be expensive because it's modern arcade stuff. It's thousands of pounds. But yeah, it'd be really good.
Biscuits with you, biscuits with you.
These biscuits came from you, from Mexico, didn't they?
No, I got these in Costa Rica.
That's it, same thing.
It's really not.
It is. Are they close together?
No. 5-hour plane journey between the two.
I thought Costa Rica's like next
to... You know nothing.
Where's Costa Rica then? It's near Cafe Nero.
It's South America. You have to look on a map, Sean. It's miles away from Mexico. A long way away. The only thing you can think of in your tiny brain is they both speak Spanish.
Yeah.
That's it.
Why did you go then? Was it just...
Why did I go? For animals. Yeah. The wildlife is amazing in Costa Rica.
All right.
Mexico is very cool as well. But Costa Rica is all wild. We went to the jungle and rainforest and stuff. It was nice. But these biscuits, I got these in a supermarket there, and these are called Cheeky. Chiky. Sotido. 8-pack. Sin tanta vuelta. don't know what any of that means, but it sounds good. So you've got fresa, which is Spanish for strawberry. You've got vanilla, which is Spanish for vanilla. And what was the black coloured one? Was that just a standard one? Or was that chocolate?
I don't know what it was. It almost brown. Tasted like a bit of alcohol in it. It was very weird.
Really?
The vanilla one didn't really taste like our vanilla. It was weird. You know, it's supposed to have 6 biscuits in each pack, two rows of 3.
Yes.
But they're all stuck together.
Oh, really? They probably got a bit melted. It was quite hot in Costa Rica.
Yeah, so I just sort of chomped into them like a big double-decker kind
like
of thing.
Like a savage. Yeah, I thought you might.
Yeah, the strawberry raspberry one was all right. That was okay.
The strawberry raspberry, you mean the strawberry one? There's no raspberry in it.
Yeah, that's just strawberry. Right.
It's again, it's in your little brain. You're thinking pink. That's definitely raspberry. Strawberry.
Yeah. And the vanilla one was a very weird taste. It wasn't our vanilla.
Maybe it's got actual vanilla pods in it rather than just a yellow dust that you eat.
Yeah, I like the yellow dust. It's lovely. It's lovely, mate. And the black ones have tasted like almost like a bit of, like I said, like alcoholic kind of.
Is it dark chocolate?
I think so.
Ah, too rich for your taste, son. Too rich.
It's a very nice experiment, though. Thanks for sending them.
There was millions of them. There's a whole box of them. Was there eight packets in there?
Yeah, 8 packets, and there was 2 biscuit. Well, there's supposed to be 6 biscuits in each pack.
You've got 2 big ones.
Yeah, 2 big ones because they're all stuck together. Yeah, I've finished them. They're very nice.
And you are the master of all beards and anteaters.
Yeah, wife says they come through the post. What's that all about?
I wrote it in your name. It's like Sean Holly, master of all beards and anteaters. It's on a need to know basis. I cannot elaborate any further.
Right.
Recent pickups. I bought a game for the Switch, online game, so I just downloaded it. £6.29. Do you know what it was?
Mouser.
Because every now and again they release obscure arcade games on there as well as popular ones. This is a bit of an obscure one because we love Mouser. What is wrong with me? I've got Mouser on an arcade cab. I've got a Porchy ROM hacked version of it, which plays the mouse that I like. So I've got a stupid bat after the first loop, and I still bought it. What is wrong with me? I just love Mouser. All right, leave me alone. I love Mouser. It's a brilliant game. It is great. It's a really nice conversion by Hamster. We do a lot of the conversions, and it's got like online leaderboards and stuff. I'm currently sitting at number 2 on the leaderboard, but of course, the unofficial world champion hasn't come round yet, have they, Sean? To smash that into tiny pieces. So when you visit me next, I might even bring my Switch to the events we're going to in the next month or two and let you play it there, get you a high score on there. Yeah, so that's a really, really good little version. It's really good as well. It's excellent. It's the arcade version with little extra bits on it. It's really cool.
What extra bits?
It's nothing special. It's got the online leaderboards. I think that you can mess around the dip switches, the lives, the settings, that sort of stuff. But it's also got, you can put like wallpaper on the side of it and stuff. Yeah. And you can have it at Tarte mode as well. So you can have a 50-inch or 100-inch TV, put it on its side and have a massive game of Mouser. How cool would that be?
Okay, you can actually be the size of a mouse, well, a real It'd mouse, wouldn't it?
The size of a kangaroo, it'd be huge. It'd be awesome. I have also bought a cabaret cab. Ooh. I haven't told you what it is yet, have I?
No.
It's not going to be here. I was hoping it would be here today, but no, it's not. It is a cabaret cab of Donkey Kong. It's a little bit of a grail cab for me because I used to have a Donkey Kong cab. I had a Donkey Kong Jr. I made my own Donkey Kong, which is like an identical reproduction of one, and I got rid of them. Just didn't be playing that much and they were too big and stuff. But because I've got all cabarets now, apart from, I think, one cab, I bought a Donkey Kong cabaret because I wanted Donkey Kong back in my life. Because I was going to do one of my ISIS as Donkey Kong, but it's obviously coming with Donkey Kong PCB in it, and it's also got Donkey Kong 2 on it. You know, the one that came out in about 2000 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
So I've got that. I've got a Donkey Kong Jr. original board already. I've got 2 of them, actually, which I'm going to pop in there as well. So I'm going to play Jr., but I'm also going to put the BitKit in there because that can play a lot of games that's just 4-way and 1 button. But essentially, Crazy Kong. So I can play Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr. and Crazy Kong in there. So all the Kong games, really. Because I do like a bit of rubbishy old Crazy Kong now and again. It's obviously not real Donkey Kong, but it's what we got in the UK. And I've got a bit of a soft spot for it.
Mm.
So hopefully that'll be here soon if Martin delivers it. I bought... I've got into another niche collecting thing again. Sorry. I bought Defender. Actually, I was given Defender for a favour I did for someone. Defender on Atari 8-bit computer cartridge. Not 2600, not 1700, not 5200. The computers. The Atari 8-bit was the second home computer I ever had. I had a VIC-20, then I had an Atari 800XL, which I've got now. And this is... When I was a kid, I only played cassette games on it. I didn't have a disc drive. No one had disc drives. They're too expensive. And a friend of mine had a bunch of cartridges, which I used to borrow now and again, because I think his mum worked at the plant in Ireland. And this is the Atari 8-bit computer cartridge of Defender. And it's a really solid version of it. It's really good. I mean, like top notch. It's really cool. And I'm also, so now I've got this cartridge, I'm currently looking out for arcade conversions only on Atari 8-bit computer format, cartridge only. Don't care about boxes, don't care about instruction leaflets, just want the carts. And they're really cute little carts. Look at the size of these little things. Look at them. They're weenies.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a... What would that look like?
It's sort of the same size as...
A Vectrex,
a bit thinner that way.
Yeah.
On the width ways. But yeah, the games are solid on the... Well, some of them are solid, some are not so solid. I got Moon Patrol as well recently. And that plays pretty well, but the actual Moon Patrol buggy looks nothing like a buggy. It's a really weird shaped thing. Why they did that with it, I do not know. It plays okay. Bit chunky. So yeah, if any of the listeners can help a brother out, I'm looking for Atari 8-bit computer cartridges, arcade conversions only. We're talking Galaxian, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man. I think Kangaroo may have come out on a cartridge, you know. Pole Position.
Oh, unlucky.
Oh, I love it. All those old arcade conversions would be really cool. I think Centipede was on there as well, that sort of stuff. Asteroids, obviously. That'd be good. Yeah. Oh, I also bought another arcade cartridge, arcade version, and this is Ninja-kun on the Famicom. It's actually Ninja Mouju no Buken in the arcade. It's someone where you climb up the sort of, it's like a sort of mountain. You're climbing up and shooting little ninjas as you go up the mountain, and they drop little scrolls. It's a really good little game.
No idea.
And the Famicom version's cool. Have a look. Ninja Mouju no Buken. I'll send you the link to it.
Hmm.
Have you bought anything lately?
I got this pop filter.
Oh, I used to use a sock. Same thing.
Socky pop. But I think it has blocked a few of the P's, isn't it? Pop filter is...
Do not pee on a microphone, everyone.
Is essential for
not
the...
Not wise.
You've got a proper shield, haven't you, on yours?
A little shieldy thing. I used to just use a sock. I don't think it makes much difference. Mm. My voice is like angels crying on your ear rolls anyway. Something like that. Moist.
Listener feedback.
Mr. Rygar, he says, nice pod. Shame Vic made a classic schoolboy error. Nutella, we're talking about nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not made from nuts. It's made from newts. N-E-U-T-S.
A bit lost in translation there, isn't it?
They just spelt it funny for marketing reasons.
Because you didn't know that Nutella had nuts in it, even though the name is Nutella. Nutella, Sean. Nutella.
It never really occurred to me as a lad. Man, I've not eaten it since.
What about pea soup? What do you think is in pea soup?
Pea soup?
Yeah.
Pea.
That's not pea. It's
peppers.
Peas.
Is it peppers?
Yeah, Sean. Anything beginning with pea, they put in pea soup. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Move on. Text has been on. Congratulations, he says, on the 10 years. Amazing achievement, chaps. Still an avid listener and have my T-shirt. And there's a picture of the gorgeous lad there. And he only brings it out for special events. Probably the Australian Kong-offs, because they love a bit of Kong over there, don't they? And that lad is very good.
He's
a kill screener, that guy.
He's a good one. Right, Mark, insert many coins. Excellent work on opening the back.
Stop. Have we got to insert coins in him, or does he insert coins into things?
He inserts many coins into whatever he can. I imagine
it might be problematic.
could be embarrassing, that, especially like when your relatives come round and that. Excellent work on opening the back catalogue on all the platforms. This is when I sorted out the RSS feed to include all of our back catalogue.
I also renamed some of the podcasts, because some of the podcasts, especially the ones with the 0.5s in, like the ones we did sort of extra little branched out podcasts, for some reason, WordPress or whoever you host with or whatever it is, renamed them. So when you click on the file name on the website to go and play that or download it, it couldn't find it because it was the wrong file name. I've renamed them back, so you should be able to listen to the 0.5s now. I don't know why it did that. I think it got rid of the dots and put under dashes or some underscores.
Anyways, but excellent work on opening the back catalogue on all the platforms. I'm loving going through the episodes right from the beginning, and it's so nice to hear the evolution of the podcast. Would it be possible to do a section on the different versions of MAME, i.e. Wolf MAME, HP MAME, Groovy MAME, etc.? There may be a few other variations I'm not aware of. Apologies if this has already been covered. My reason for interest is I'm desperately trying to find the hacked versions of Spooky Donkey Kong and DK Remix. You've got them, haven't you?
I have.
And Christmas Donkey Kong, but can't work out how to do it. I've heard Vic mention these a few times, so if he could help me out, it would be appreciated.
That is interesting, actually. Wolf MAME is a version of MAME that you can't cheat on and you can't pause. So when people want to do a world record, they use Wolf MAME because it monitors anything you're doing that might be unjust for high score chasing. So when you do it, you save it as a it's like a video file, and obviously judges can watch you playing, and there's no way of cheating. You can't cheat on it, you can't pause, you can't skip levels, etc., etc. So Wolf MAME is like the strict one for doing world record attempts and stuff. HB MAME, I think, is the one that plays all the really weird versions of everything. It plays like hacked versions of stuff, ones with different music, different levels. Groovy MAME is for CRTs. Groovy MAME is a really good version. We use that a lot.
It's for caps, yeah.
And the versions of Spooky Donkey Kong and the remixes and stuff, I'm not sure about the remixes because I think they're hardware only. You've got to buy a kit for the remixes. Because I had a remix of Donkey Kong, and Alex had the Junior, the remix of Donkey Kong Junior. It saves the high scores, there's different levels and stuff. So I think those ones may or may not be available. But the one of Spooky, which changes the graphics around and puts some extra little bits in it, all you got to do is you get the ROM set for that and just rename it to D-Kong, which is the Donkey Kong ROM set, and play it like that. But obviously, if you've got that in your MAME selection, you won't have the Donkey Kong because you can only have one ROM of the same name. So you just rename it, as far as I remember. So I've got Spooky, and it's a really good version of it. So yeah, we could go into that. You might have to do a little bit on that, on the different versions of MAME, because there's quite a few versions out there, and they are quite useful for certain things. I'll look into it.
I don't think Wolf MAME is used anymore. I think just regular MAME's used now because it's so sort of strict anyway.
Right.
People can tell if you're cheating. I think Wolf MAME. I don't even know that there was some reason why Wolf MAME was so strict, but I think you can do them kind of restrictions in normal MAME now.
Maybe they added stuff in there.
So I don't know if Wolf MAME is still a thing. I'm not sure it is.
I was looking the other day, because of the game we're going to be discussing at the end of this podcast, Arkanoid 2 Revenge of Doe, I was looking into skipping through some of the levels because we were talking about some different levels on it, and I don't know how to cheat on MAME. I can see when you pull up the menu with the tab button, it comes up with cheat, and there's nothing in mine. I think you have to. Is it some DAT files you got to add to MAME to cheat?
A couple of them are already in there. There's the only one I use is Autofire.
Is that for every game?
And yeah, you can just enable it, yeah, on every game.
I've never worked out how to do it.
Endless lives also, and what's the other one? Invincibility, if it's capable of doing it. If the game hasn't got it, you can put that on. Yeah, just little things that you can
I've never worked out how to do it. Because I know there's common ones, like the speed-up version of Pac-Man. Because there's one version of Pac-Man where you can actually hold the fire button down and it'll go really fast. And as soon as you let go of it, it goes normal speed again. So you can make a quick escape. And there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, I've never really messed with it, to be honest with you. Even Auto 5, I've never messed with. So I don't even know how to do it. But yeah, we'll look into it. Jason Barber's been on. And he said he tried a bit of pyrography a few years ago. And pyrography is the art of burning wood to make shapes and artworks. And he said, I'm not very good, as you can see, but I enjoyed it. He did a little one of the robots from Berserk. And he spotted this hidden message. He found it. And he found this spotted message from his wife on the back. And it said, My first wood burn by Jason Barber, age 49 and three quarters.
I have got here, let me just back up a bit.
Back up, baby. Back up, fool.
I have got, which I'm still using, this is going to be a Batsugun one, done by Rob Llewellyn. I have to put that on the show notes.
Oh, yeah, that isn't a burning. That is a CNC-made
coaster. Is it?
Yes. So he's got a CNC machine like my one. Well, I've got one, but different makes. We've both got CNC machines. And he obviously did that. He carved it. He CNC milled it into a piece of wood with cutters and stuff.
Friendly shout outs.
I'd like to shout out to Alex at the Arcade Archive down in Stroud, Gloucestershire. We will be seeing him on the 25th of May. There's an event down there. I was watching him because he does a lot of videos on there. And I was watching him giving tips on Ghosts and Goblins. He did an evening at the archive where he's on his own in the night and he plays different games and talks to them. I think it was a live stream, this one. But one of them, he actually sent me a message saying, oh, I hear you're having trouble with Ghosts and Goblins. It's not that difficult when you get into it. It's a memory game, which we know it is. And he put some tips on there. I was watching him play it. And after watching his tips, I can already get a wee bit further than I could before. It's a game I really like, and I really like progressing in. It is hard, but I am getting better at it, which is nice. I can actually get to the two one-eyed trolls that come. You know, you get the one at the very first end of the first level, and later on, there's two of them come at the same time. And I've got there a few times before, and hopefully I'll be able to kill them now and, you know, keep on going a little bit. Because I'd like to... I'd really love to be able to get to the end of that game. I couldn't be bothered to go through, because you know, everyone should know, spoiler alert, when you get to the end of Ghosts and Goblins, you go back to the start and do it again to actually get the true ending. If I could do it once, that'd be enough for me. But I don't think I'd ever get there, but I'd like to be able to do that. It'd be a nice thing to do.
I think one of the locals at the arcade, I think John Riccardi, I think he's called, something like
yes.
that. He did a... something like an easy 1cc when I was there, I think. But when I was there, he showed me his YouTube channel. I'll have to put a link in it,
yeah,
in the notes. And it was him doing it, and he was giving tips as he was clearing the Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, he can do it easily. Yeah, I've seen him on the levels. Millions. Levels I've never seen before. It's brilliant. I really like watching someone who knows a game inside and out. It's really good.
It's good to watch, isn't it?
Brilliant. I'd also like to give a shout out to John Singletary. He's helping me out with a stateside pickup, winging its way to me as we speak. I'll talk about that next time.
Ooh.
It's not a big, it's a small pickup. Also, like to shout out to Whitney, our friend on the other podcast, for helping out with a special Famicom cart for me. There's a special Famicom cart that's being made in America. I got the guy to make it on, it's normally a NES game, but I got him to do a Famicom version just for me. And he sent it to Whitney, and Whitney's going to bring it over when he comes for the 25th for the Arcade Archive shindig. Wow. So that's really cool. Wow. Looking forward to that.
My one and only shout out is for Bobby Idod for friendly chats about music creation and talking about stuff related thereof.
Yeah, well, loads of chats. His own band years ago. I've got his CD somewhere.
I think he won't mind me saying. Guess how many guitars he's got?
Oh, loads. 20?
I think he said 28.
Oh my God.
Guitars.
That's like me and CRTs. I've got over 30 of them. How many fingers has he got, for goodness sake?
He's only got 10. He loves it. He loves his guitars.
Guitars.
Excellent. Right.
Here's the Pico 8 Arcade Debate.
It's not really a debate, is it?
Yes, it is.
It's just us poring over games that Paul Ham X has done again, because he just does them every month.
Yeah. Have you played this, Bombjack?
I have had a quick go of it. It's good. I like Bombjack is a game brilliant. I really like Bombjack in the arcade, but I'm terrible at it. I really like it. And that's another game. If you watch, I watched some YouTubes. When we did Bombjack years ago, I watched someone playing a YouTube video of it. And they were getting like 100,000 points on the first level. You can milk the game if you know how to do it for points. And it's just one of those games. If you know all the secrets, it's brilliant. And he's made it look easy, but I'm rubbish at it. But this version is really good. It works really well in that little tiny screen with little chunky graphics. And he's just made, I wouldn't say a better version of it, but different with modern elements, I suppose. It's really good.
It's so good. It's really good.
Bomb my Jack right up. I wonder what he'll be doing for next month.
We'll have to wait to see what Paul Ham X has done.
He's probably done another two by the time. We probably just missed it. He's put another two, I expect. So, Paul Ham, well done, sir. I say, Sean, do you have a mind of masterful quizzes for me?
Yes, sir, I do,
sir. I look forward to these. Give me a quiz, sir.
Piece of noisy paper,
yes.
Right, this is delving into the archive. This is delving into our arcade history, right?
Okay.
In between 2014 and 2016, I would say, we had a fantasy cab list, didn't we? We had a fantasy cab list that a fantasy arcade or something. It was.
That's right. Oh god, that's
limited to 10 machines.
Yeah, we put in and out cabs, wouldn't we, when we fancied?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, I haven't got a clue what I had in my arcade.
Oh, right.
I've got a feeling some of them I'm looking at now.
It's very interesting. Do you get right if you try and actually start off with Alex, because Alex had his arcade. He had 7 games, yeah. And you might be able to get them.
Right. iRobot.
Yes.
Berserk.
No.
Rescue.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong 3.
Yeah, and one more, which is an unusual one for I thought. It's another Nintendo.
Popeye.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he actually had most of those cabs. The only one he's never had is an iRobot. Because it's one he used to play in the joke shop as a kid. So how many millions of points do I get for that?
You got 7 out of 7 there.
Ooh, look at that. Bosh.
And if you can get how many... This is you. Start with you. How many cabs did you have in your fantasy list? We had the original 10.
Yeah, and then over 20, I expect. No, me.
No, you only added 6 more to it and taking a few out.
Okay. So, we've probably got Space Invaders.
No.
Really? Phoenix?
Yeah. Phoenix. No.
Oh. Asteroids?
No.
Dig Dug,
yes.
Donkey Kong?
Yes.
Donkey Kong Jr.?
No.
Bosconian,
yes.
Thought so. Scramble?
Scramble. No.
Ooh. Oh, dear. Kangaroo?
Kangaroo. No.
Ooh, dear.
What's that wall mount you've got at Maze Game?
Maze Game wall mount. Oh, Ladybug.
Ladybug, yeah.
The Ladybug cab's really nice, isn't it? The actual proper Universal cab's really nice.
And what T-shirt are you currently wearing?
I'm wearing a Sky Cursor.
Yes, you had that in.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the cabinet, that's really nice. Got nice artwork on it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay, some of these were in your arcade. Can you remember the racing one that was in your garage arcade?
Oh, I had two. Well, one wasn't a race, one was a mow people down game. One was Speed Race CL5.
No.
Well, that's what I had, and Death Race.
Death Race, yeah.
You weren't really racing, were you? You were just knocking people over.
Death Squash.
If Death Race was released as a single player on a little cabaret, I'd have one of them now. Because someone reproduced Death Race on FPGA. Because they actually made reproduction cabinets. They made like 20 of them.
Yeah, I saw a row of at least 10, yeah.
They were expensive, but they'd actually redone the cabinets to the exact specifications of the original ones, and they'd reproduced a game on FPGA. And I'd love, love, love to get hold of one of those FPGAs, but I don't think you could buy the board without the actual machine. They were very limited. I don't think they made a production run of it. I need to look into that, because that would be a really nice little cab to have. A really nice cab to have. Imagine a little steering wheel, just a single game version of that. It was a brilliant game. The only reason I sold my one, and my one was the only one in the UK as far as I know, is it was just so big. And I didn't play it that often. It was better with it. It was actually really good two-player game playing with someone else. But obviously, never really had people around to play it that often. But yeah, it's a great little game on those with those TTL sounds and stuff. It's brilliant. Can't remember if it's a TTL game or an actual process. I can't remember. But someone reproduced it, and it was just as good as the original version.
Wow.
That'd be really cool.
Can you think of any more of your games? What's a game you can get an extremely high score on?
Oh, Kicker.
Kicker.
That never really came out in a cabinet, though. It's just a it's just a kit. What else are they? Mr. Driller?
Yeah, that's in here.
Yeah, I've got one of them. Oh, probably.
But remember, this is like 2014 to 16.
UB?
No UB.
Oh, I would like a UB, though. Still would like a UB even now.
Unusual ones.
It's probably ones just so the cabinets were nice. Is stuff like Xevious on there?
No.
Hmm.
You have to think. You had one of these, and you did some. It's like yellow.
Cubert.
That's
got a Cubert now. So it's quite good. I actually stuck to my guns and went and got hold of these cabinets, because one I always wanted was a Space Invaders Taito Trimline to go next to my Phoenix, which is really, really hard to find. The Phoenix one was only released, I think, in Germany. And I found one in the end. Someone actually gave in to my whining at them for years to sell it to me, and they actually sold it to me. And I've actually got a Space Invaders and the Phoenix trim lines sat together. They're never leaving my possession. They're staying with me forever. There's two games I'll never get rid of because it's so hard. I actually sold the Phoenix and got it back years later, and it's not going anywhere now. It's mine.
So there's some weird other ones, because we played these around the time. Think of
is it something like what's the space, not space race, Omega Race?
No,
because that's a cabaret. Well, like an Omega Race cabaret would be really nice to get hold of. That's a great game.
Iron Horse was one.
That's not a cabinet. That was a kit.
It's in your fantasy. We were thinking about games as well.
Yeah, making them up ourselves, making the side. Yeah. That'd be really good, yeah.
Yeah,
because that's one of my favourite games. Food Fight, yeah. I actually got the artwork made up for an ISIS for a Food Fight, because I was going to do it with one of those Ultimark 360 joysticks, which it sort of acts like an analog joystick, but it didn't quite work very well, so I gave up on it, and I couldn't get the game to work as well as an arcade version. And arcade versions of Food Fight, anything to do with Food Fight, expensive. A cabinet, $3,000 to $5,000. Even the joysticks, like hundreds of pounds, just for the joystick. I expect the PCBs £1,000. It's just everything was expensive on that game to get original. It's really expensive. But it's a great game. The original's a great game. It's one of those games that only really plays well in the actual cabinet. Such a cool little game as well. Really good.
So the three you didn't get. You didn't get 1942.
Everyone loved 1942, though.
Asteroids Deluxe.
Oh, yeah, because the cabinet's really nice.
And Space Zap.
Yeah. A cabaret version of Space Zap's really nice. I've played on one of those with the big buttons.
Now you got loads of points here. Now, what was my...
Yours,
10.
And 1942.
It's very shooter heavy, this.
Oh, it's probably all to do with cave games, isn't it?
No, not all of them.
Oh, okay. Well, any cave game for a start.
Yeah, Dodonpachi add in.
Yeah. Ooh. Like something like Vulgus?
Yeah,
Vulgus. So you were into Vulgus at the time with me.
Yeah.
Not sure, actually. Because we weren't playing Mouser then, were we?
No.
Should we have got into that? Shooters. Oh, probably, yeah, like I said, the Terraplan games and stuff as well, which is sort of early cave.
Man, I haven't got a Terraplan one in there, no.
Really?
What did you make a trackball for me specifically for this game? And I've been trying it this week.
Ooh. It wasn't Missile Command. We've never done that. Ooh, was it that Camel Hoof game?
No.
Camel Try.
It's the quintessential trackball game, not Missile Command.
Quantum is the essential trackball game. It's not that.
It rhymes with Bentersleed.
Centipede by any chance? I actually had Centipede Cabaret and I sold it because I just got bored of playing it. I was just rubbish at it. Never got into the game because I just couldn't play it very well.
I did have cabinets though. I had Flicky.
Oh yeah, of course, Flicky, one of your favourite.
I had Star Force, which is still in my favourites list now on the cat on my own.
Absolutely, it's such a great game.
The only two that are in my favourites list that I've still got is Sun Sun and Horizon. I love them too.
Yeah, because Horizon is a follow-up to Moon Patrol. You really got into that. I got into that as well. Great game.
Did have Scramble in it.
Of course.
Time Pilot I had in.
Oh, yeah. Time Pilot's a great game.
Oh, Civern, yeah. Juno first. I think the last show, right, we should do...
The game I want to do.
No.
It's my leaving party, not yours.
No. We should do a list of the games that we've discovered through this podcast that we love. Like, I would definitely have one on here, Juno first. I would definitely have Spatter.
Baloo Baloo no Densetsu.
Yeah, you would. I would have Flicky.
Yeah.
I would have Mouser. I would have...
Oh, yeah, Mouser.
Yeah, Horizon.
Ladybug for me.
And really Road Fighter, a very simple Twitch game. I still play that.
Yeah, I know you like that. I never really got into that one. Yeah, we should have to do that for the last one. Maybe, yeah, we should. And talk about, yeah, play them again, get some higher scores on them. It's a good excuse to play them again and have a little bit of a competition going on.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Come on, then.
Yeah, so at the end of podcast 199, whatever that may be, it will be a bunch of games. Give people loads of stuff to play.
A review, yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's sorted, then. Is that your pathetic quiz over with?
Mm.
There wasn't actually any proper questions, was there? It's just me trying to remember things in my memory.
Oh, yeah, you did well, though. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
17, 18, 19, 20. 2.8, 3.141.
You got 21 out of a possible...
Cosine of 7.
40.
Adjacent.
But the ones that are still in my favourites list now are Star Force...
Oh, yeah, it's a classic game, though, Sean.
Volgus, Horizon, Sun Sun. Yeah, they're still in my favourites list.
As they should be. I agree on all of those.
I'm on the cab.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually got a cab I'm looking at now. I started making it years ago and I never finished it. I need to do it. And it's a reproduction of an Atari Cabaret, which would be the Dig Dug, the Tempest, the Centipede-shaped Cabaret. And I was going to do it as a Atari version of Star Force. Because obviously Star Force wasn't made by Atari. It was made by Tekan. But if Atari ever made it, that's what I was going to do it as. Or maybe even a Time Pilot. Because Atari did release Time Pilot.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was going to do that.
Yeah, I had Time Pilot in my original.
Of course you do. It's an amazing game.
Yeah. Yeah, great game.
Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding. I went into countdown again.
You did go into countdown.
Right, kids, this is what you've been waiting for. This is the cream of the crop.
I've been dreading this game.
This is the egg on top of the goose.
Yeah, because geese really need to be covered in egg, don't they?
I don't know what that means. This is Arkanoid 2 in brackets, The Revenge of Dole.
Yep.
I've put Homer Simpson on our podcast picture, by the way.
Okay.
1987 by Taito Corp. Aeration. Main CPU is Z80 at 8 MHz, another Z80 at 6 MHz, sound chip YM220 at 3 MHz. Two players possible, control, preferred, spinner.
What do you mean preferred? The only way to play this stupid game is not just with a spinner. It isn't a spinner. It's a dial, right? And the dial is attached to a rotary wheel with holes in it, and an LED shines light through it, like a spinner. But that wheel is also attached to a gear attached to the knob you spin. So it's actually a paddle dial, but it's not, it's an infinitely spinning one. You can spin it all the way one way forever or all the other forever. It's not like a pot where it goes from like 0 to 270 degrees and that's it, this thing will spin forever. But it's not just a case of if you had it on a Tempest cabinet, for instance, with a different monitor in it, you couldn't play like that. This needs to be a geared wheel. So when you move it a certain direction, it moves the wheel enough to move this on-screen bat. And it's the only way you can play it properly.
Properly, yeah.
So it says on the notes here, give Sean loads of grief for this, because you chose this game and you thought people could play with... Are you standing by it, are you? You're going to die on this hill?
People have enjoyed playing this. There's a button which only does two things. Well, three things. It releases the ball. It also... When you have a C catch power-up, it releases the ball after you've caught it. And you can fire layers even of lasers.
You are a massive C.
With the button. So it does three things, and it sounds like this.
It's the same controls as Arkanoid. It's as simple as that. It's the same game as Arkanoid, with some twiddly knobs on.
This story is implausible enough from the attract mode. They're trying to make a story out of a ball and paddle game.
Yeah, but why? It's
boring. So I have interspersed this with swear words. A long time has passed, and the dimension-controlling force called Dolt has come again, back to life.
Like a dick.
Occupying the huge spaceship Zorg, it has entered our universe from the dimension...
Sticks.
Mixtec, the Arkanoid-type spaceship, has launched the craft Vaus 2 to make a preemptive attack on Zorg.
Flaps.
How to play! Sorry, so now I went all high up there. The OG Arkanoid changed the game and solo-heartedly rejuvenated the genre and breakout clones had finally died out. Were there many breakout clones? There was loads of clones. There was loads of different
name
breakout.
Ten.
Can't name 10.
You can't name 2. What other game can you think of? There was a bat and ball game where you're actually breaking bricks in a wall that aren't, you know, rip-offs. There was Breakout, which was original bat and ball game knocking the walls out, and the Super Breakout, which was added a few little extras to it, like a hole in the wall and ones that moved. What other ones were there? The only one I can think of was Circus, but it wasn't a bat. You had a little guy on a seesaw, and you fired the guy up in the air and he smashed the balloons. But that's the only one I can think of that was like that, and that was quite a bit different.
If you listen to the They Create Worlds podcast, there's two parts to a deep dive into the bat and ball history, and they mention a load of copies that came out after this.
And what are they? There was loads of rip-offs, like Korean versions of things.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of them, but that was afterwards. But before Arkanoid, there weren't many at all. There's like three. Unless I'm very wrong.
I think there are quite a few breakouts type
there isn't.
Things.
There was bootlegs of Breakout, but it's exactly the same game, just copied. But there was Breakout first, which was a TTL game. Then Super Breakout was, I think it was a 6502 processor. And then after that, I can't think of any others apart from Circus that came out before Arkanoid came in and revamped the genre. And after that, there was tons of them, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I'll have to listen to that podcast again. Anyway... It really is just a bat and ball thing with power-ups.
Yep.
I tried to play this on a stick in the cab with an Xbox-style controller, with a trackball, with a laptop trackpad, a keyboard, and eventually a mouse on the PC actually did an okay job with it.
I just couldn't get the... You need to have really precise control. It's like playing Tempest with a joystick. It just doesn't work very well. You need to be able to spin... and stop exactly in the right place. Because the thing with this game, it does matter where you hit the ball on your Vaus, on your little bat, to get the angles right. And it's quite an art to get it right. And you need that exact, precise movement. And you cannot get that with a stupid mouse.
You can, but it's a lot of practice.
Yeah, I couldn't. Did you try a dance mat? That'd be fun. Or some of those Samba de Amigo maracas. play it with that. You just got a maraca one side to make it move around. That'd be really good.
Right, differences from the OG Arkanoid. There's warp gates, this one. We had a long discussion about the levels, didn't we?
There's warp gates, plural, because in the original game, when you got a certain power-up, you could exit the level really quickly. But if you got rid of all the bricks, then the side, the right-hand side would open up and you'd go out the thing. But on this game, when you get one of the power-ups that finishes the level quickly, or you do all the bricks, you get the left and the right open up, and it sort of goes different ways. It's different levels. So if you don't like a certain level, you can go another way if you know which ones they are to avoid that level.
Yeah, I think we found out that we checked the US and the world ROMs. We didn't check the Japanese ROM because that was getting too deep into it. But the first level is different on the US ROM than it is on the standard parent ROM, that I call it, the world ROM. The very first level is different.
Yeah.
All the rest, the other 34, well, 64 actually, because you can go left and right, are the same, because I've tried it.
Because I looked on, there's a website we go on quite a bit for some of our research, and we always put it on the notes, called, is it Game Facts or
Strategy Wiki?
Strategy Wiki, one of the two. But they do a walkthrough, and it actually shows, I'll put it on the notes for everyone to look at and see what they think, but I might have got the wrong end of the stick here. But it shows the US ROM set, not the world, the US one, and the Japanese ROM sets, and like level one, and they're totally different, level two, and they're all exactly, they're totally different levels. The only one that's the same is the mini boss in the middle of the game and the end boss. But all the levels are different. But I never got past the first level, spoiler alert. So I wouldn't have seen any levels anyway.
It's the same game. If you go left, you get a different round two than you do go right.
Yes.
And you go down to round three, you get a different level if you go, you get a different round three if you go left and you go right.
Yeah.
So it is the same game. It's just that they duplicate all the levels.
I wonder if those levels I was looking at is if you go left or right. On each level, it's the left level and the right level, maybe.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah.
That's what's going on. Okay.
The other differences are the notched silver bricks. They take several hits to destroy. They regenerate after a few seconds. You don't need to destroy them all to complete a round. Moving bricks, they are bags.
Yes.
Some bricks move from side to side as long as their left and right sides are not obstructed by other bricks. The US version features an entirely different layout. Yeah, the US version has a different layout for level one with all notched bricks. After that, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Boss battles at round 17 and then a head honcho at level 34. I never got to say that. I don't know, we're near 17.
No, I think only about three of our players actually did. So there's the power-ups.
These are the extra ones that are in dough. So you've got all the original ones in the original Arkanoid, and these are the extra ones.
Yeah. So you've got S for slow, slows down. Oh, these are original ones, aren't they? And the original ones are slow, L for laser, C for catch, B for break, which opens the warp grates.
So basically
do the level. E is expansion, which gives you a big bat. P is an extra life. D is disruption, which is sport spits into 8 mini balls. The new ones are as such, Sean.
M for mega ball, slices through everything on the screen. Oof. That is good. That's great. R, it shrinks the bats but grows the points. Avoid that just because it's hard enough anyway.
Didn't you have that in the original game as well? I'm sure you had that in the original
one. I don't think so.
Okay.
T, twin, are two paddles side by side with a little gap in the middle of them. That's quite annoying, really.
Little gap, yeah. We don't want little gaps when we're trying to catch balls, do we?
I, for illusion, Vals leaves a vapor trail shadow thing. So the ball will hit that instead of draining down the hole,
mm-hmm.
but it'll go off in a random direction. So if your actual physical bat misses it and it hits this vapor trail, the ball will just go wherever.
Do you know what that is?
But it keeps it in play.
Do you know what it is?
Go on.
It's just an illusion.
Ba 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 ba.
Do 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 do. Yeah, sorry about that.
N is for new. Continually spits the energy into three particles if you catch another.
Until you catch another. So it splits into three. If you lose one, another one comes out. If you lose two come out. As long as you've got one in play, don't lose all three at the same time, balls will just keep coming out. You can't lose. if that happens.
It's very, very good. And a flashing pill is a random power-up.
Ah, is that the one with the sort of like arrows on it?
Yeah, I didn't bother with that.
No, you don't want my bug with the little ones on that.
There's lots of free roaming enemies, in brackets swirling crap, dropping from the top of the screen in each round, which your balls will interact with in different ways, deflecting differently and rebounding off in predictable angles. You can hit them and the ball will go straight down, or you hit them and your ball will deflect off and go up.
Basically annoying.
Yes. They get in the way, causing point blank rebounds, but can be killed by the laser or ramming them as they reach your level of the valves.
Yeah, you don't get killed if they hit you.
We've talked about the different versions. It's very confusing. We didn't really check if the Japanese version was different levels. We know the US and the world one were the same.
Yeah.
Apart from level one.
There's loads of tips and secrets for this, because there's obviously bits and bobs going on with it. The big thing is remember the colour of the power-up instead of trying to look at the letter on them. So if you think you like the pink one, get a pink one. You know, it's easy. David Filskov, I can recommend playing Arcanoid with a trackball or a bit more control than with a spinner. This was...
He posted a quick YouTube short of it playing the
with a trackball. Oh, okay, yeah, I suppose that might work. Well, I think a dial was the best way of doing it.
I got on okay with the trackball, but it was a bit... It was more accurate, but it was slower because you had to buzz it left and right.
Yeah. Right. To be honest with you, when you first picked this, the next couple of nights after you picked it, I thought, right, I've got to find a way of playing this. I want to play this game properly and give it some justice. I've got an Ultimark A-Pack, which is for analog controls, and I've also got an Opti-Pack, which is for optical controls. And I tried to convert an Atari trackball, the old VCS trackball. I think it was on the Atari 8-bit computers, actually. I got one of those, which I think Ross kindly gave me. I use it on the Vectrex sometimes. And I tried to hook that up to it. It wasn't having it. For some reason, that trackball operates at a different kind of speed, or I don't know what it was, but it wouldn't work with it. It sort of worked, but it was really slow. The movement was hardly at all. So then I tried to... I've got an old trackball I bought years ago, a cheap one. I think it works with the 60-in-1, because there's some games on the 60-in-1 I work with, Arkanoid and Breakout and such. Didn't work. It just, for some reason, you had to really press it down to make it work, and it just wasn't very good. I tried hooking up a dial, which is more like a paddle, which is like a potentiometer.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get that to work either. And I think with Arkanoid, someone on Twitter told us, it needs to be an infinite spinner. Because when you start the game, you're always in the middle of the screen. And if you play a game like Breakout with a dial which goes like 300 and something degrees, less than a full turn, wherever you leave the control set to, that's where your bat will stay. But with Arkanoid, it always starts in the middle. So you have to start again with the spinner. So you can't use a pot to play it, a potentiometer. So I did try. I actually really tried hard to try and get something to play the game properly, and I just couldn't make anything work. Because I used to have a USB spinner on one of my cabs, and I sold it because I never used it. And those spinners are about 70 quid. They're quite expensive, the USB ones from Ultimark. But you just plug them straight in. They act as a mouse. Plug straight into USB. It'll work immediately. No software needed or anything. So if you really do want to play it, that's the way. But then again, that is just a spinner again, a true spinner. And it's not a geared wheel spinner like an Arkanoid controller is. So Arkanoid controllers are actually unique to Arkanoid and Arkanoid 2. Controls on this are kind of unique. You can't really play it with anything apart from a geared spinner if you want to be good at it. And I think the people who were playing it who were good at it have actually got a cab with the proper spinner in it, the proper controller, should I say. So someone who has got a cabinet with that exact controls are our friend Chris Parsons, CMP. And he sent me a bunch of notes you're going to read out for me. They're actually really good. Chris has actually got a same cab as me. He's got a Vartec Cadet, a little tiny cab, and he made it into a really nice Arkanoid dedicated cabinet with the controls on it. So he says, given I love Arkanoid, definitely in my top five favourite arcade games, I never really got into Revenge of Doe. I stuck it in my cab a handful of times, the actual PCB, and always gone back to the original without playing too much. It just seemed needlessly harder in slightly unfair ways. The ball starts noticeably faster than Arkanoid. It's much more stingy with the Break B and Player Extend P capsules. The collision detection on the power-up seems extremely mean, which is compounded by them seeming to pass by you when you have to be elsewhere hitting the ball much too often too.
You can kind of almost graze the power-up as it's going below you, and you should get it, but you don't get it.
Right. There are way more tricky levels where shots are really difficult than loads of gold bricks, which are the unbreakable ones. Some of the new power-ups suck. Twin T is so annoying. The ball finds the gap in the middle far too easily. Reduce R makes a small bat, but double points. But you can earn more points just harvesting power-ups, and as soon as the ball really speeds up, good luck with that tiny bat. I avoid both like the plague after the first two or three rounds. Illusion I is also pretty pointless. All that said, he now really likes Revenge of Doe. I think it's been a 10 pence effect on him. He says, the choice of two levels each round is a great addition. Being able to avoid that level you find massively annoying is very welcome. And also it keeps it more interesting as you can vary your route and not be playing the same sequence every time from the start. Some of the new power-ups are actually fantastic. The flaming one with a random power is great. Especially love the ludicrous number of balls, which causes major slowdown on the PCB. The purple M mega capsule, also great, with balls that destroy even the gold bricks, a godsend in some of the most evil levels. Talking of power-ups, one of the best improvements of the original is that they still continue to appear whilst more than one ball is in play. In the original, you pretty much would never keep more than one ball in play, as you're seriously limiting your points scoring potential by new power-ups not appearing. Especially as you could be missing out on Break B or Player Extend P capsules. I got as far as level 18, which I was really happy with, although level 18 seemed bloody impossible. I plan to continue on and have a credit through now that the high score competition is over. Also pretty cool that there was a mid-game boss, which is really easy, as I doubt I'd ever get to the final boss on one credit. Chris also said, additional, try to kill low enemies that are loitering with your bat whenever the ball is up the screen. Other than that, I think practice helps to get a feel for the where the ball is likely to go if it bounces off a nearby enemy. So you sort of keep an eye on where how they bounce.
Yeah. But graphics and sound, I like the graphics and sound. Fairly solid, good animations, nice meaty sound effects, and cinematic musical ditties. Every now and then.
Yeah, I like when you play the game at the start, it gives you some nonsense mush about, you know, what it's done, you know, the game, sort of what's going on with it. But then you see a little animation of a big ship blasting a hole in this evil thing, and your little Vaus going down into it, and that's obviously when you play the game. So it gives you an idea of sort of a level setting kind of thing. The graphics and sound, the only reason I like the graphics and sound on Arkanoid and Arkanoid 2 is because they're the similar graphical style to one of my favourite games, Volfide. And I got a feeling the people who did the graphics must have worked on both. They're both Taito games, and they've got similar sort of like futuristic sort of alien technology kind of graphics, if you want to call it that. It sort of reminds me of that. Yeah. So that's why it always reminds me of that. Because Arkanoid and Arkanoid Revenge of Doe are to Breakout what Volfide is to Kix. It's sort of that, you know, sort of ramping up the game a little bit more kind of thing. That's what it was. And I do like that in games when they sort of make a newish version of it, but still has elements of the original game. I do like that. The cabinet, there's not real cabinet art. It was a kit designed for use on Taito Diet cabs. And we'll put some pictures of these. The Taito Diet cabs are sort of like full-size cabinets. They've got a very rounded front to them, and they've got very similar generic side art on them in different colours. I mean, loads of games came out on Diet cabs because I think it was just cheaper for Taito to make, like, you know, a control panel decal, a round-the-screen bezel decal, a marquee, and just pop them on with the marquee, with the PCB. So they came out in different cabinets, obviously different styles for popular cabs as well. There's one in our pictures here which looks like a Frogger cabinet. It's been upgraded to an Arkanoid.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Trivia. It is now an undeniable fact that the original Breakout was a major inspiration on Tomohiro Nishikado and the creation of Space Invaders.
Yeah. When you look at it, if you turn the bricks into invaders and make them move around a bit, it's a similar game. Obviously, you're shooting stuff, not bouncing stuff onto them, but still getting rid of the things up the top to do the level.
Yeah, it was very influenced by it. And oh yes, this is a fantastic ball and paddle history from Alex and Jeffrey at They Create Worlds. That's the, I should have listened to this before I chose Arkanoid. I would have chosen something else, I think, listening to all these possibilities.
And why is that, Sean?
Because it was so hard. It's so hard.
Because you're an idiot.
It was, well, at least we've done it now. We can say we've done it.
You I said say on the previous, we wasted the podcast game. The last few precious podcasts we've got, and you've ruined it. You've wasted you've pushed it up against the wall. That's what you've done.
Do you know what it gets on the sidekick, though? It gets a very respectable 7
don't
out of 10.
Give me your sidekick rubbish. You're a sidekick. I don't listen to you. Silly boy. Let's do some scores. Right. At the very bottom, Ross couldn't be asked because he had the wrong controls. So 1,610 points. He said it's a token 10p score. Didn't have a spinner that I could use with MAME. Unpleasant experience with any other control method. Oh, I'm totally with him on that.
Michael Vortman had his two young sons, Henrik, who's 9.
Oh, yeah.
He got 9,580.
Well done, Henrik. Basil the Sane has got 11,160. Revenge of Dol, too hard to control without a spinner. We're going to have a lot of that.
Philip Vortman, that's Michael's other son, 13 years old. He got 12,700 points.
Well done, Philip.
Well played.
P. Gids, 14,940. And me, next. I had a token game, 16,020 points. Yeah, I did the first level only because I got a B and nipped out the level quick. That's the only way I could do the first level. Rubbish without the right controllers. Absolute rubbish.
One Punch Ron. 15,720. I'm not good at this with a spinner. With an analog joystick, I'm even worse. Once that ball picks up some speed, it becomes impossible to catch. Yes, it does. Just can't get the power-ups either, not without losing the ball. That's when I lost most of my lives, when I was trying to get the power-ups instead of concentrating on where the ball's going.
Keep the ball in the air. Grey Bags, 16,390.
J. Ping Barber, 18,890.
Michael Fortman. 20,000 dead. Difficult to play with a trackball, but fun nonetheless. It's all about concentrating on the ball for me. If I try to track the bonuses, I'm sure to lose a ball. Great game.
You see? Retro Rex, 23,840.
Mr. Messi, 26,500. Tricky one to play this. I have not experienced any recurring ball trapping, but I've had problems with a knob sensitivity. Can you have sticky balls and a bigger bat?
Robot Caterpillar has scored 27,570. Hello, Victor and John. Really enjoy playing Arkanoid 2. How you see? In the past, I would also always play this for a few minutes and move on. It's nice to dig into this game and get better at it and advance a few levels. I played this properly with a USB spinner. Yeah. Everybody loves a good spinner. Thanks to both of you for a great podcast.
See, the people who liked it have got the correct control, Sean.
Yes.
So Kirsty was at CMP's place, and she played on his cabinet and got 36,510. Great score.
Nice. Mr. Zestoro got 38,650.
Eastwood 71, 41,160.
Me, 41,690. I managed to finish the first level. We'll get onto the second level. I think that was it.
Yeah. Snarkade, 47,410.
Mark What No Gravy, 47,990.
Pilbo, 66,920.
Getting into the points now. Here's Jimmy, 4 points with 91,750. This game took me right back to the early 90s and a brilliant Atari ST conversion, although I don't remember it being this difficult. Gave up using the cab's trackball and had far better success on a desktop PC with a mouse. Great pick, you see?
When I was playing my Atari 8-bit the other day with those new cartridges, I got one of those compact flash cartridges for it. I can't remember which one it is, but it plays ROMs, basically. And I was playing Arkanoid, the first one, which was released for the Atari. I think you can play it with Atari spinner, you know, the paddle control. Yeah. I think you can play it with that. But I was playing with a joystick, and when the game is slower, it plays really nicely with a joystick. It's just much. If it's made for a joystick, it works better with a joystick. Obviously, Arkanoid wasn't made for a joystick in the arcade, but it plays better. So I think if you've got the controls made for it, it's a better experience.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next? Rygar with 5 points, 117,560. There's lots to like about this one. Great colours, cool effects, and some decent scoring mechanisms. But as others have said, it's a bit on the difficult side.
Ooh, Salbug. He's got 150,860, a 6-point super fun game. Good choice. Thank you, Sal. I'm really going to miss you guys when his podcast comes to an end and he's put some crying little emojis.
I wonder what he was playing with. Must have been playing with Spinner. John Bennett, JDB, 221,350. A score for my mate John Bennett, who popped over this weekend.
That's Chris. Chris TMP's mate.
Okay, yep, okay.
Mr. Berserker, 8 points, 337,150.
Whoa.
The scoring system is a lottery on level 5. I actually scored over 400k after the 345k, but I'm refusing to submit it. If you manage to top it, I will not be submitting any more scores. No skill involved. I actually scored 200k with the recurring reward. If you can get to level 5, there's all these bouncing balls that are at the top, the really fast bouncing balls, and they stay there.
Right.
And I don't know how you get the extra points from that.
I think you just get the N power up, which makes loads of balls. I think they just keep battering around and just keep scoring going. I'm not sure what it is. But there is a way of getting tons of points on that level, apparently.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have got to level 5 anyway.
No. Aid Skyway, 369,730. Here it is. If you're lucky enough to grab a great N power up on round 5, keep deliberately losing balls. As long as you have at least one up the top, they'll respawn there. I'd already earned about 50,000 points before I got the wife to record some of it. She did call me a saddo. To be honest, it's killed the game for me. I haven't wanted to play it since discovering this. So it's a bit of a cheat, that one.
Yeah.
I presume in world records attempt, you're not allowed to do that, I would have thought.
Mm.
So who is top of the pops?
It's Mr. Chris CNP with 10 points, 572,010 points with his own cap. A spinner is essential as you need to be able to move really quickly at times. Even with an analog stick, it's still too hard. Mouse and trackball would probably work okay.
No, they do not.
Mouse works okay. No, that's just okay. It does.
It's rubbish. Pish. Ports and sequels, quite a few. The original OG Arkanoid, 1986. Tournament Arkanoid. This is US only a limited release, 1987.
Yeah, this is not in the MAME history thing. I'd have found it. And it's a real thing. It has been released, Tournament Arkanoid.
I've heard of it. I think I've seen the PCB. Is it a cocktail version where you play, one person plays, and then the next person plays obviously the opposite way around, and you're playing against each other for scores?
I'm not sure.
I've got a feeling it's something to do with it. I have heard of it. Arkanoid Revenge of Doe, this one, 1987, again.
Then you've got Arkanoid Doe It Again on the Super Famicom.
Do you see what they did there?
And don't
Arkanoid again. Returns. This is on Taito F3 hardware, 1997, years later. And you got a version on the DS, 2007. Is this the one where you had a bolt-on controller for it as well? I got a feeling it went on the bottom near the cartridge port, and you had a little spinner, a little dial control. I'm pretty sure it came with a controller.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good idea.
And then before we get to the home versions, with the consoles and stuff, please note the home versions of Revenge of Doe also features a level editor where you could create your own levels and edit or replace existing levels with the exception of the first two levels and the mini-boss and Doe.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because it's only bricks you're moving around. And on consoles, the Famicom, good old Famicom, had Arkanoid 2, and that is the one you can get a controller with as well. You can actually buy it with a separate controller.
Loads of computers here. Sharp X68000, but that was a good version. Commodore 64, ST, Amstrad CPC, Commodore Amiga, Spectrum.
MSX,
Acorn, Archimedes.
Archimedes? Is that like an Archimedes?
Hey, guess what?
You can't say anything properly.
Yep. And also, I had one of these in the loft.
An Archimedes?
Yeah, an Acorn Archimedes, and I sold it for like nearly 150 quid.
Well done.
Good, that, isn't
it? I never really played with the Archimedes. They had one of those for doing CAD on in my last year of school, and that's the only time I ever touched an Archimedes. They were very similar to Amigas and STs, weren't they? 16-bit.
Yeah, looked similar as well. Changes add improvements.
Loads.
I'd put less indestructible obstacles and more bricks to actually hit.
Yep.
Some levels are just them gold things. And
that's
then
probably
like
why Arkanoid was a better game.
Yeah, and a tunnel to ricochet your ball up to the top and get a couple of
It in that little hole to begin with, which is difficult.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's hard to collect the power-ups earlier on in the levels when you're bouncing the ball bricks lower down. So if you're bouncing the ball down...
If it's very close to the bottom, they're obviously really quick because it's hitting up and down really quickly. You've got no room to actually let the ball fly around.
And then you get a power-up floating down, but you can't reach it because
the ball's... down the bottom. Yeah, that's... I've said, for a start, let's have an easy first level with a ball much slower and a gradual increase and no hit twice to destroy Brits. That's the first flipping level.
Mm.
You should just have an easy level to do so you can get off the level, get your 2 minutes worth of gameplay and for your 10p, and then ramp the level up. But it's just difficult to start with. Rubbish. Mm. Annoy or enjoy, Sean?
Annoy for me. Simply too hard and too many bouncing things in the way.
Yep.
They start to come down from the top. If you take your time, if you're good enough, you can carry on and try and clear the level.
Mm.
You get all these spinny triangle things and these like spheres.
Which makes your life a lot harder.
And you've just got to, the ball either goes through them or it bounces off them.
Yeah. It's annoying.
I don't like it.
And when someone like our Charlie Farr is saying the game is impossible to play without a spinner, Sean, what is it? Impossible to play without a spinner. Who chose the game, Sean?
I don't know. At least it's not as bad as Blueprint.
Ish. It's getting that way. I said absolutely annoy. It's ridiculous without not just a spinner, a geared spinner. So it is. It's definitely a unique controlled game. Mm. The only game I can think of that's got the same spinner is the first game, Arkanoid. It's the only thing I can think of.
Because I didn't know that.
Some steering wheels on racing games, I remember my Speed Race CL5, an early Taito game I had, it's the only racing game I've ever had, apart from Death Race, that someone had messed around with it inside, and the optical wheel was actually on the steering wheel, but it shouldn't have been. It should have been a mechanism with a gear to correctly gear the ratio of the steering wheel movements. That's why you had to spin it like crazy to make the car move at all. So obviously the gearing would have made it better. So you couldn't play it properly because of that. So I never really had a proper game of it on that. The last word. What would we play that's similar to this or maybe instead of?
Well, I looked at the GB series, right? Because there's a story behind that as well as along They Create Worlds. It's the Iwatani guy that created Pac-Man.
Yep.
He was employed to make games, but he loved pinball, so he made a pinball.
Is this version. The guy who did? So GB is very similar to Bombi and Bombi N, the Nintendo version of it. The three games are very similar, aren't they?
And then there's QTQ, I think, which was the first one in proper colour.
Yeah.
But I've tried them. I thought, it would have been good because it's kind of like a pinball meets a breakout kind of game. But after 15 seconds, the ball speeds up.
Goes mad.
And there are no power-ups.
Of course. So it's an old game, isn't it?
Yeah.
70s game.
It's just as hard, I think, as Arkanoid 2.
I think a lot of the breakout games, apart from the sort of rip-offs that came after Arkanoid, a lot of the Korean companies did games like this. The ball speeds up far too quickly. You don't get a good couple of minutes out of it. It's just really quick, and it's only that one power-up that can slow it down again, and that's not that common.
Mm.
So if you had more of those power-ups to actually slow the game down and just go through your game at your own pace, it'd be a lot better. But it's just too difficult.
Yeah. But, you could play the original Arkanoid or the other 170 Arkanoid clones that came
from
after
our
it.
Expert winner, Chris, he prefers Arkanoid 1, so I think you're probably better off with Arkanoid 1. I would say, and it's not very often I say a computer version of a game, Batty on the ZX Spectrum. Did you ever play that?
I don't think so. I've heard of it.
It was a game given away for free, an absolute full game on a cassette on a Spectrum Mag. I think it was Your Sinclair it was released on in the 80s. I had it. It even had a two-player head-to-head mode. You could play two players on the Spectrum at the same time. It's a really good game. Really good. I think Elite made it. But they released it as a Christmas game or something for free. It was really good. For a Spectrum game, absolutely brilliant. That would be a game I think we spoke about when we used to do the old what game would be good in a cab. I think I said Batty. obviously with a proper spinner and everything. It'd be really cool.
Next show's game.
Next show's game, Sean. And it's what we haven't done before. We've only done one other game, which is a one-on-one fighter.
Yeah.
And that was Karate Chimp. Karate Champ.
And that was, kind of the proto fighter, weren't it? It wasn't really developed into the fighter that we know and love now.
No, it was a karate game where one hit is your thing. One hit will give you a point, and then that's it. You've got to hit the guy twice or whatever, like a proper karate bout. So this one is Waku Waku 7. It's a Neo Geo game that came on a Neo Geo cart. It's a four-button game. You need all four buttons on it because it's a fighting game. Obviously, Street Fighter 6 and Mortal Kombat 5, stuff like that. You can choose any character you like in the roster of characters. I think there's 8 or 10 characters in there. But why would you pick anything but Maoru? When you play it, you'll understand why. He's not a monster. He's my friend. I know this game quite well. It's one of my favourite fighting games. It's really cute. So the game's Waku Waku 7. It's developed by Sunsoft. The ROM is Waku Wak 7. W-A-K-U, W-A-K, and the number 7. Lives is not applicable. It's a standard. The difficulty is not applicable, really. It should be level 4, which on standard Neo Geo hardware settings, it'll be set at level 4. If you've not messed with it, it'll be level 4. That's it. But you do need 4 buttons and an 8-way stick for it. So, any character you like. I don't think the point system makes any difference with what character you play. So, submit your score. This will be arcade ROMs only, please. No scores from console or computer compilations. They may be different. You can play it on the Neo Geo Mini. So that's the arcade ROM on there. If it's on there, even. Mine's got it on there because it's hacked. Or Twitter at hashtag Tempe Score. Sidekick app in the 10 pence club section. Email to the site, which is vertvic@tenpencearcade.co.uk. Facebook as a comment on the podcast post or UK VAC. The deadline for score submissions is Monday, the 15th of April, 5 p.m. UK time only, please. Well, I hope you like this game. Go and kick the crap out of some characters. And that's it from me. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Thanks for listening, kids. You've done well to get through this drivel.
And playing a game without the right controllers. Sean.
From my end.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Love you. Bye.
You can download or play the podcast, read all the show notes, and leave feedback at www.tenpencearcade.co.uk. You can email me at vertvic@tenpencearcade.co.uk. You can also reach us on our Facebook page. You can tweet me at tenpencearcade, and you can tweet Sean at Sean Holly. We'd love to hear from you for game suggestions, arcade pickups and stories, or any of your personal thoughts on anything we may have covered.